Week 3, NFL season is in the books. We've got some panic. We've got some Jaden Daniels. We got a lot of Monday night scoring to figure out. We got Dalton Del Don coming in to sort through it all. Waiver wire, great fantasy conversations. Let's get into it. It's Tuesday, September 24th, and I'm Scott Pianowski. I am pinch hitting for Matt Harmon, and this is the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Spectrum. And it is a lovely, delightful day to talk ball. Going to break down some Monday Night Football, a couple of games. We're going to get Dalton Del Don in here for Panic Meter. We're going to run through waiver wire pickups. We're going to do all sorts of stuff to get you your fantasy update. Before we get to all that secondary stuff, we got to get these Monday Night games. We had two of them. Four teams, three of them showed up. We'll start with the second game, or I guess the game that ended later. Washington 38, Cincinnati 33. The Bengals have ruined every survivor pool, but this goes down as the Jaden Daniels unveiling. Only two incompletions. He made plays with his arm. He made plays with his legs. Cliff Kingsbury had a really good game plan for once. There were no turnovers or punts in this game. Just lovely offensive football. Man, do we need it in 2024. Terry McLaurin had a big game, got in the end zone. Pretty much everything you needed in this game got home. There were three rushing touchdowns for the Commanders. Daniel scored one. Austin Ekeler scored one. Brian Robinson scored one. Zach Ertz did what he always does, had five catches, didn't do that much with them, four for 100, a touchdown for McLaurin. So I know Cliff Kingsbury isn't always the easiest offensive coordinator to trust, but it seems like he and Jaden Daniels are making some pretty good music together. And you know, all the rookie quarterbacks seem to take a step forward this week, right? I mean, Caleb Williams threw for a bunch of yards. Bo Nix did some good things. And Daniels was just dazzling. If you didn't get a chance to see this game, if you didn't stay up for it, you're going to want to run through at least the highlights, if not the quick snap replay, because he just looked like it just had the RG3 feels, right? Washington drafting a high quarterback, and he's lighting the city on fire. I mean, just everybody's excited about this team. They're 2-1 now. Of course, the Bengals 0-3. But for fantasy, a really good day. They score 33 points. They outgained Washington in this game. The game had almost 800 yards, as I mentioned, no punts, no turnovers. Jamar Chase, I was hoping for the Juwan Jennings game. I got the Malik Nabers game instead. He goes over 100, a couple of touchdowns. T. Higgins, still a little bit rusty. Yoshi scored a touchdown. Both of the Cincinnati backs were active in this game and looked pretty good. It's going to be a timeshare still. And Burrow looked pretty good. I don't know if the blonde hair is ever going to really work for me, but Joe Burrow's a good football player. It's not his fault. His defense couldn't stop Washington, so... We've been through some tough sledding this year. The scoring has not been there, but this was a night where there's a lot of offense in that second game, and if you needed something to come through for you, there's a good chance you got it. And that's just a good thing to say for fantasy, right? We needed to cleanse our palate. We needed offense. We needed points, and we got them in the nightcap. Now, the first game, Buffalo, fantastic. Jacksonville, not so good. This game could have been an email. That could really be the end of the story right there. Josh Allen did whatever he wanted in the first half. He was going to steamroll to the highest quarterback score of the year, which he already has from week one. But then the second half, Buffalo basically called off the dogs. Allen had four touchdowns in the first half. He didn't need to do much in the second half. He did, much like we saw with Washington, the Buffalo touchdown distribution was spread out. Cook, touchdown, Ray David. Cook had a touchdown. Ray Davis had a touchdown. Ty Johnson, Keon Coleman, Shakir, Kincaid. I mean, it's basically Oprah Winfrey handing out the scores for that Buffalo offense. You know what you got here. It's a passing game. There's no real alpha. Nobody had more than six targets. James Cook is a good player, maybe not a great player. He's tied to an offense we like. And this is, you know, one of the three or four best offenses, one of the three or four best teams in football. I think that's kind of where we had Buffalo before the season. Next week at Baltimore. That's a Sunday night matchup. Can't wait for that game. Now, unfortunately, the Jaguars, I wouldn't mind if their season was over right now. I don't know where you go from here. Trevor Lawrence looked terrible. Travis Etienne did a little bit in garbage time, which is basically the entire second half. We had some production from a couple of the receivers. Kirk beat his prop. Brian Thomas made a couple of plays, but they had 3 points at halftime. Buffalo had 34. The game was basically over. Lawrence looks like he's meeting his players for the first time. I don't know how much they miss Evan Ingram, if that's part of this. But Trevor Lawrence was the number one pick, was one of those anointed can't-miss guys. He was supposed to be another John Elway, another Peyton Manning, another Andrew Luck, whoever you want to call up. And right now, he's just another guy. And, I mean, he's a Jag quarterback in the Jags. And granted, Buffalo can make you look bad, but even in garbage time, they have the whole second half against the Buffalo team. It just wants to get the game over with, and they only – throw up 7 points in the second half. Mac Jones did take over, and I guess he threw, what, 7 or 8 passes in this game. So Trevor didn't go the route, but mercy to get him on the bench at the end of the game. I liked Jacksonville as an offense on the rise before the season. I would like to burn everything I've written about this team. I think they're going to have a new coach. In-season firings rarely make a lot of sense, but who knows? Maybe somebody different gets the play sheet. Maybe they mix in some up-tempo. Maybe they'll let Lawrence call his own plays. They got to do something different because whatever you're doing right now, Jacksonville, it ain't working. So week 3 officially in the books. We got the Monday night game squared away. Let's get Dalton Del Don in here. We got a lot of panic to sort through. It's fantasy football. It's late September. What's going on? Hello, Dalton. Time to say welcome to my good friend, Dalton Del Don, joining us here in the podcast. Hey, Dalton, how was your week 3? Is it possible Kyle Shanahan is just not a closer?
Yeah, I've had better weeks. Niners, a dramatic blowing a lead again. My daughter had to sit out her race with a sore knee. My guy Anthony Richardson struggling. So yeah, I've had better fantasy weeks, but really, just scoring is so down across the league. I mean, Mahomes threw for like 217 yards, 2 touchdowns. That made him a top 12 fantasy QB this week. It's been kind of just frustrating seeing this lack of scoring.
Yeah, I know every year is weird in its own way, right? It's the weirdest season. We say that every season. But what's weird about this season, no scoring. Survivor leagues are all going to end before Halloween. Crazy. They may end before October. It's just crazy. And I'm in a 3-strike league where half the league is already out. Boom, boom, boom. And I know you're in some big money Survivor League, so that's been crazy.
Mine's over if a team wins tonight, P&L, the one you're in with me. Already over in week 3. I know it's like, you know, 40, 50 people in it. It's the wildest, hardest Survivor year I've ever been a part of, for sure.
So that's why I'm glad you're here. Because, all right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get to the main event. Welcome to the post week 3 panic meter.
Would you say it's time for everyone to panic?
Yes, I would, Kent.
Oh my God! Okay, it's happening!
No! Wait!
Everybody stay calm! What's the procedure? Stay calm!
So it's all about panic today on our podcast. Panic at the Disco, panic on the streets of London, panic in Detroit, and just for you, Dalton Del Don, Joe Panic. We're going to try to figure out what's going on with these players who are disappointing us. We're going to come to a verdict between the two of us. Is there no panic on this player? Is there some panic? Is there total panic? Does this team or player need to go in the coping corner? And Dalton, it's really good that you're here today because Joey M sends an email, a player you've already mentioned. Joey M says, I'm officially in hair on fire mode over Anthony Richardson. I could deal with the turnovers if he was scoring touchdowns, but he's not scoring touchdowns. He's costing me my matchup 2 weeks in a row, and the Colts schedule doesn't get any better going forward. I picked up Geno Smith. I don't know how I can keep starting A. Rich. What to do? Well, I remember Dalton, he was one of your target players, Anthony Richardson, before the season. It's been a disappointing run out so far. What do you got for me on Anthony Richardson?
Yeah, I'm somewhere between some panic and total panic just because I was so high on Richardson. I'm concerned he might get benched this week against the Steelers, another really tough opponent. He was missing so many open guys Sunday. Andy Barron said it well on the podcast, Monday's podcast, that these aren't bad decisions. They're just bad throws, very inaccurate. So many yards were left on the field. And if that's not enough, like, where's the running? His 7.3% scramble rate when pressured is 28th in the NFL. We need to see more designed runs. And there's a third issue here. The Colts are averaging 25.7 fewer offensive plays than their opponents. I mean, the Bears ran 30 more this last game. That's 4.4 possessions per game. And that's what the Bears unable to run the football this last time. So that's just been that even that might be a problem all year, but that's got to regress. I mean, that's just crazy, the discrepancy in plays. Richardson was tackled at the 1 yard line twice Sunday. I mean, he scores in one of those. He would have been probably a top 12 fantasy QB with the scoring this week. He was a QB9 through 2 weeks. He's currently ahead of CJ Stroud, one spot behind Patrick Mahomes. Richardson's the youngest quarterback in the league with also the best throw of the season, that one he had in week 1. He's number 1 in air yards, still getting 8.0 YPA. That's 7th best in the league. Don't ask about his adjusted yards per attempt, P&L. He's number 6 in expected fantasy points per game. But yeah, man, these inaccuracy issues are a major, major problem right now.
Yeah, I think when you said between some panic and total panic, I'm going to tell you that the verdict is going to be some panic on Anthony Richardson because he's still got Shane Steichen. He finally has his receiver core totally healthy. He's been a little bit unlucky with getting tackled close to the goal line. what you have to believe in is that, and I know I realize that Jonathan Taylor was lugging the mail in the week three victory over the Bears, but you have to believe that there's more rushing equity here and that Richardson, whether it's just going to be flow of the game, the competitive juices kick in, maybe Steichen gets a little bit more creative with some designed runs. But the reason why you drafted him is he had two paths to fantasy relevance. And I thought that week one game against the Texans showed, reminded me a lot of Jalen Hurts when he was first finding his way as an NFL quarterback, that he could have a bad game and still score 24, 25 fantasy points. I'm not sure that Richardson played all that well in week one, but he hit some long completions. He was active as a runner. I thought, oh, this is great. Yeah, I'm actually underweight on Richardson. But the good news is there's a lot of good quarterbacks. Maybe this reader, Joey said he has Geno Smith. He can bench Richardson when he needs to. Maybe Pittsburgh is a spot to bench Richardson. But what you're looking for in fantasy football so often is upside, players who can beat their ADP, can beat their current market consensus. And Richardson still offers that. So we're going to put the gavel down on some panic.
Totally good with that. And I mean, I wish the schedule was a little bit easier here early on. At least they won last week's game. And the upside is just still through the roof. Remember, the youngest quarterback in the NFL. And has both a rushing upside and all these deep attempts. I mean, Josh Downs just returned. Alec Pierce looks good. Yes, Pittman, these are all bad for fantasy. But man, he has the weapons to make the weapons and the coach. The system's there to really be a lot better moving forward.
And we'll appreciate that indoor schedule later in the season as well. Right now, weather's good everywhere, but that won't be the case middle of the year on into the December when we win those fantasy championships. Now, panic is not limited to individual players. Sometimes a whole team has you in a panic. Let's go to Will, who sends in a voice memo.
Real Bitcoin dog again. Dalton Deldon, please put on your Satoshi Nakamoto hat to cheer me up. I benched Romo Odunze since we're not starting any Bears and might even put the entire Bears offense in the Caleb Coping corner. But Rome caught over 100 yards and a touchdown, so I'm panicked.
This is kind of an odd question of panic. I think he wanted the Bears to be bad. Maybe they did more than he expected in this Colts game. Dalton, what's your lay of the land right now with the Chicago offense?
Yeah, I appreciate the Nakamoto shout out as usual. And it was just maybe a bad call by us last week. I blame Matt Harmon simply because he's not here to defend himself, if for no other reason. But yes, it's frustrating that you benched Odunze, but it's good news he balled out. Number five among wide receivers in fantasy usage. He looked like Chicago's number one wide receiver Sunday. And that was before DJ Moore left with a potential injury. Odunze made plays like a star, ran 98% of the route, saw 49% of the air yards. He's supposedly playing through a sprained MCL. Caleb Williams missed Odunze open downfield multiple times. This day could have been even bigger. It's tough to trust Shane Waldron, and Keenan Allen will eventually return. But Odunze, to me, suddenly looks like a threat to lead all Bears wide receivers in fantasy scoring, and that's bad news for DJ Moore and DeAndre Swift. I don't know what to tell you at this point. He dropped a pass and lost 12 yards during a fourth and goal carry, 1.5 yards per carry against a Colts defense that had allowed two running backs to run for more than 150 yards to start the season. Swift has 27 carries for 68 yards on the year. P&L. He's in coping corner. That's for sure.
There are reinforcements coming, right? I mean, they're going to get Keenan Allen back and Roshan Johnson, who we'll talk about later on this podcast. He was better than DeAndre Swift, and they weren't afraid to use Roshan Johnson in that Colts game. I think after being active but not really participating in week two, we saw a lot of Johnson in week three. And remember with Caleb Williams and really all the rookie quarterbacks, right? It wasn't that long ago that rookie quarterbacks would wait, they'd study, they'd wear the hat, they'd wear the clipboard, the headset, whatever it was. And this idea that they would all start right away and take their lumps, that didn't exist. Patrick Mahomes had a whole season, right? I mean, Tom Brady was drafted as a backup. The guys like Peyton Manning who come in are fantasy relevant right away. I think we're a little bit misguided if we expect that from everybody. Trevor Lawrence has had ups and downs. He was a number one overall pick. So maybe we see these rookies start to play better, Williams start to play better in the second half of the year, or even the middle of the year. Odunze really looked the part of a first-round pick on Sunday. That was exciting. So this seems like a clear case of some panic. We don't trust Shane Waldron. There could be a crowding issue when everybody is healthy, but I think this is an offense on the upswing. And at least with the Odunze, at least you didn't drop him, right? There's probably some people out there who maybe had some injury considerations or they just didn't trust the Chicago offense. Like, what am I going to do with a number two, number three receiver with a quarterback who's not playing well? I know Williams wasn't great on a per snap basis, but he did throw for the most yardage we've seen all season. So there's some good things in this offense. I still don't trust Waldron. I think next year when they have probably a different coordinator, maybe this offense will be a lot more exciting, but I want to have some piece of it. I would love it too, by the way, if this Cole Kmet thing is real. And we're going to talk tight ends later. It is a national tight end wipeout. Is Cole Kmet, by the way, somebody you're interested in? Did you drop him? Did you add him? Did you start him? Because it was a week with no tight end right answers, but Cole Kmet was one of them.
No, I was out on Kmet. He was splitting the routes with Gerald Everett. So no, I did not see that explosion coming, but you're right. Tight end has never been bleaker. I will just say before we move on from the Bears that DJ Moore is pretty concerning. I mean, he had 78 yards Sunday night in a game. Caleb Williams threw 52 times. And 49 of those yards came on that Hail Mary at the end of the half. And DJ Moore left injured. So, man, and Keenan Allen's coming back, and Adunze is only going to get better. So this is concerning if you're DJ Moore, who was drafted as a top 20 fantasy wideout.
We could spend this whole episode on the Miami Dolphins because you spoke and we're listening, man. Jesse said in a tweet, the whole Dolphins team, that's his panic meter submission. Justin went a step further in his tweet, Tyreek Hill, I'm ready to trade. I'm ready to bench. I'm ready to cut. And DJ down bad with this tweet. I have Achane, and I feel like I just pulled up to a barbecue in a sports car and everybody's like, whoa, but I know I'm almost out of gas. Look, I don't know what to say. Tua's out indefinitely. We're not sure he'll play again this year. We're not sure he'll ever play football again. There aren't that many great backups, but we know Skylar Thompson isn't one of them. He plays poorly at Seattle. Then he gets hurt. Then Tim Boyle comes in. He probably shouldn't be an NFL quarterback. So, as great as Hill is, as great as Waddle is, as great as the talent is in this backfield, we like Mike McDaniel, right? You need a quarterback to make it run. Dalton, give us some truth on the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, it's total panic only because Tyreek Hill and Achane are too good of players for coping corner right now. But, Skylar Thompson was in this system, and McDaniel just, they've scored fewer points this season than the Panthers have scored. They scored in week 3 with Andy Dalton. Maybe it's Tyler Snoop Huntley time. You're benching Jalen Waddle. He has 129 total yards over 4 Skylar Thompson starts now. The Dolphins over-under this week is 37 points. I mean, they scored 70 points in week 3 alone last year. They're supposed to be better early in the season with this weather. Achane's really helping as a receiver. I mean, you're still starting him for sure, but clearly we're lowering expectations for Hill, Waddle, and Achane for the foreseeable future, unfortunately.
Do you think changing his name to Snoop Huntley, is that going to make him fantasy relevant? I wish they made trades in the NFL, right? If this was like a baseball team, you'd trade for something, or at least you'd explore the trade market. In football, it's so rare that we see major trades. We know a lot of quarterbacks have contracts that makes them untradeable. How good would Andy Dalton look right now? Or even like somebody Gardner Minshew on the Dolphins, but I think the Carolina Panthers are not going to trade Dalton. The moment Andy Dalton has trade value, I'm sure David Tepper is going to treat him like he's the best quarterback in the league. I mean, he's just so unreasonable. But is there any way Miami can trade? Ryan Tannehill be open to a phone call? Do you see a way out of this?
I think they reached out to Tannehill, and he was requiring a pretty significant contract to come out of retirement, and they didn't want to reach that demand. Miami needs a quarterback in the worst way, and they have all these terrific weapons, and it's killing fantasy managers. Trade for Jameis Winston, although I expect him to be starting in Cleveland sooner than later. So yeah, we need Miami to figure out this QB situation one way or the other. And yeah, it looks bleak right now with Thompson. He's not the answer.
It has to be total panic. I'm with you that we can't go coping corner because the talent's too good here, but it's ugly. It's ugly, and I don't know. Producer Colin says, how about Trey Lance? Dalton, you know Trey Lance from the 10 seconds he played in San Francisco. What do you say about that?
Yeah, I didn't look too great in the preseason. I don't know.
Collins gone one further. He's offered Raheem Mostert for Trey Lance, which is, Dallas.
Who says no?
Why did Dallas not want Braylon Allen? Why did 31 football teams not want Braylon Allen? I'd like to know that. There's my panic meter.
I know. How high would be ranking him as a Cowboys workhorse right now? He'd be a top 15.
Isn't it so funny? There's so many teams. Breece Hall is great. But there are some really exciting backup running backs right now. We'll get to some of them when we get to the waiver wire segment. But it just goes to show you Tyreek Hill. He looked like one of the right answers, a week or two ago. And then Tua gets hurt. And then everything gets unplugged. And that's fantasy can be really frustrating game sometimes. So let's go to the
what. That's a trip pick they traded for Lance. So that's what Colin's saying is what they could have got Braylon Allen right then. So yeah, that's a frustrating one, no doubt. They need a running back so bad. The Cowboys need a running back like the Dolphins need a quarterback.
make this happen. We need more. At least, you know, they moved the trade deadline back a couple of years ago, and we started to see more impact. It used to be the trade deadline in the NFL was just the biggest dud in the world. And now it's not that unusual where we get a trade of interest. In 1 year, my Patriots traded Jimmy Garoppolo to your 49ers. Little did we know that would just cause more pain for 49er fans. But would Jimmy Garoppolo join the Dolphins? There's another possibility. Let's move on to the wide receivers. Marky Mark. That's Marky Mark with a C at the end. He sends in this tweet. Speaking of the San Francisco 49ers, 27-year-old Juwan Jennings signed a 2-year, $15.39 million contract in May. It's about what Dalton makes. 26-year-old Brandon Ayuk signed a 4-year, $120 million contract in August. So why isn't Ayuk making an impact? Dalton, you're close to the 49ers. I'm still on a high from Juwan Jennings looking like Terrell Owens for 3 hours. I did not see that coming, but Ayuk's got people nervous. This was supposed to be a blow-up game for him. He did not blow up. What say you?
I think some panic is deserved here, given his ADP and the fact that he took a backseat to Juwan Jennings when given this huge opportunity. Great matchup. No CMC, no Debo, no Kittle. So very frustrating, and it's warranted after 3 weeks of this. Clearly, he's been out of sync with Purdy after missing so much practice time throughout summer due to that contract situation. But this one was on Purdy Sunday. He missed a wide open. Ayuk would have been a 50-yard touchdown. He did still finish with 10 targets. Purdy looks great, even without the stars. I mean, he had those bad splits without Debo in the past, but that also came without Trent Williams, and he played fantastic this week. CMC's timeline remains uncertain. Who knows how long Kittle and Debo will miss? So, yes, it's discouraging what's happened, but I think you're still buying Ayuk here. I mean, Jennings is great. We'll talk about him more later, but he has never commanded even close to that target throughout his career, even with the other players off the field. So, there's some panic with Ayuk, but I expect far better days ahead.
Yep, some panic is the call. They're not going to have their full complement of talent. And remember, they lost the game too. They didn't just have a disappointing Ayuk game, but somehow they, again, Kyle Shanahan, not always the best closer. You might remember a couple of Super Bowls that didn't finish the way he wanted them to. They paid Ayuk. They are vested in Ayuk. Ayuk obviously had a dream season last year with efficiency, with a great, whatever metric you want to use. Brandon Ayuk shined in it last year, and it's no surprise they paid him. They're going to get that figured out. So,
most receiving yards in NFL history, fewer than 110 targets. Last year, Brandon Ayuk. I mean, there you go. He has the ability to be a fantasy star, but man, it just hasn't come to fruition yet.
If you can, and I'm not sure if you can, but if you can, maybe there's a panicked Brandon Ayuk manager in your league, and maybe time to don't ask for Brandon Ayuk. Say, hey, you got pretty good receiver depth, and let him land on Ayuk, and maybe you can get yourself a pretty good deal there. Speaking of receivers we like Garrett Wilson. Kyle is a little bit worried about Garrett Wilson. Sent us an email. He said, this week, I'm panicked over Garrett Wilson. Yes, I know he scored a touchdown, but he had 33 yards on 9 targets. You can no longer use the quarterback excuse as Rodgers looked close to his old self. I don't care if defenses take Wilson away. It doesn't stop other elite receivers in the league most weeks. Malik Nabers comes to mind. Wilson supposedly has the tools to be in that top tier. It seems like only the only way he actually caught the ball on Thursday was scheming up some Mickey Mouse routes for him. So Matt Harmon's not here to defend himself. He wants to know from Matt. Matt, you can get back to Kyle when you can. As somebody who is a wide receiver expert, does Garrett Wilson still have the tools to be that dude? Perhaps the chemistry between Rodgers and Wilson isn't quite there yet, or do you think we're in for another disappointing season? I'll admit, Dalton, I'm a huge Garrett Wilson guy. I drafted him at ADP last year. I drafted him at ADP this year. It's been a slow liftoff. They have maybe more talent in the supporting cast than I expected, so I'm a little bit nervous here. I'm curious how you're viewing Garrett Wilson these days.
Yeah, there's some panic here considering he was a top 10 pick, but they're so close on so many of those back shoulder throws. Aaron Rodgers just looks better and better. He ran around like crazy last week. He loves to throw near the goal line. I mean, aside from Allen and Hall, it's still going to be Wilson the guy. I know Lazard has stepped up here and Mike Williams is getting healthier, so I can understand some panic, but the talent is there with Wilson, and he has such a better quarterback situation. And I really think he can still approach double-digit TDs even with a slower start.
The only thing, and I realize Rodgers as a veteran quarterback is basically a quasi-offensive coordinator. I wish I trusted Nathaniel Hackett more than I do. I look at some of the coordinators around the league. It's like, yeah, Sean McVay's going to put his players in position to succeed. Kyle Shanahan's going to do that. And then look at somebody like Cliff Kingsbury, who doesn't do the creative things that I want done with Terry McLaurin. Look at Kevin O'Connell. No matter what you give him, it seems to work in Minnesota. I wish I had a little bit more faith in Hackett. So I'm going to put down the gavel as some panic. Maybe Wilson just is a slight loss at ADP. I can't imagine that at the end of the season, you're going to be like, oh, you know, if I just didn't draft Garrett Wilson, it would have been fine. Yeah, maybe Neighbors would have been the right pick or something like that. But I Garrett Wilson's too talented. Rodgers does look healthy, realizes a little bit more crowding there. Even Ty Conklin showed in that Patriots game that he's got something to offer, and they have two really good running backs. They're going to play at a slow pace sometimes too. The defense will control the game, but end of the season, what, Garrett Wilson's going to be a top 12 receiver. I'm not, maybe he's not going to the moon, but he's going to get somewhere in outer space, and you're going to be glad that you roster him. Some panic is the call on that. Another Ohio State receiver has our listeners nervous. John sends in a tweet. Can somebody tell me what to do with the Seattle wide receivers? Signed, somebody who benched JSN in week two. And what John doesn't say is he probably played JSN in week three when JSN did not do much. We've seen a dud in the opener. He went ballistic, JSN did, against New England. Quiet in week three. Of course, they could have scored 10 points and won that game without any trouble. What's your lay of the land, Dalton, on Jackson, Smith, and Jigba?
No panic for JSN for me. That game script played a part this last week. The Dolphins just had no pushback with Skylar Thompson. Geno Smith was a bit off. JSN leads Seattle in routes run. Really liking what new OC Ryan Grubb is doing. JSN played 47 of 50 snaps in 11 personnel and 9 of 13 in 12 while outsnapping Tyler Lockett 53-36 this week. I mean, the Seahawks led 17-3 after the first quarter. It just was not a good setup. JSN has the most slot snaps in the NFL among all receivers. Top 20 in air yards. To me, he's a screaming buy low in fantasy if you can get him there coming off this dud. I like JSN. He's going to break out this year.
No panic is the universal call here. For all the stuff you outlined, he's on the field. It's just a game script trip up, right? Miami was not competitive. Skylar Thompson's not on the schedule. He's not coming back for the rest of the season. They're going to have to match points with a lot of their opponents. I like what Grubb is doing. JSN, and you know what he did in week two, there's some signature significance to that. You can't get 16 targets. You can't have the line that he had without being a really good football player. And Geno Smith, I think, might go down as one of the greatest values at quarterback this year. So a lot of things pointing up. Lockett is in an age 32 season. I think he becomes phased out as the season goes along. And you know, with already Walker's dinged up, you know, Charbonnet's a good player, but maybe not an electric player. I think this team might be more pass heavy than they wanted to be anyway. So feel good about that. We're going to agree on no panic. Scott Pianowski sitting in for Matt Harmon today, joined by Dalton Del Don. Panic meter is the name of the game. We're trying to talk you off the ledge, trying to keep you calm. It's only week three. My buddy Patio sends in a tweet, another receiver question. Xavier Worthy is actually not even worthy of being rostered in most leagues, let alone starting. Week one was touchdown deodorant. Laces out, Scott. Dalton, you got to admit, he makes a pretty good point. We haven't heard much of Worthy since that opening game where he scored the two touchdowns, and that was on a limited amount of snaps. Since then, the Kansas City offense is all about Rashee Rice. Kelsey's been quiet. We'll get to tight ends in a minute. What's your current stance on Xavier Worthy?
I'll go with a total panic here. The Chiefs' pass rate's typically 62% the last 5 years, down to 53% so far this year when Mahomes is 31st in air yards per attempt. Worthy's obviously exciting, fastest player in the league, but he has 11 targets over 3 weeks, ranked 61st in route participation, 65th in target rate. Andy Reid will get him the ball, and he's going to score some long touchdowns, maybe even more on reverses, but you hate to say it, but Worthy just looks like the classic better best ball player right now, at least during his rookie season. I mean, you see the opportunity. No Marquise Brown, no Isaiah Pacheco. Kelsey may be washed, but I'm benching Worthy for now. I would not drop him because of the upside, but yeah, he's benching, and Rashee Rice looks like a, if not top five, top three fantasy receiver moving forward.
Man, what a screaming value Rice was all during the summer. I'm going to not only agree with your total panic here, but I'm going to throw in a bonus panic question. Nobody wants to say this. I know the Chiefs are coming off back-to-back world championships. For the last year plus, Patrick Mahomes has been just a guy. They had an average offense in the regular season. I think people forget that because it was so good in the playoffs, and they got full Kelsey in the playoffs, and Rice was a vested member of the offense then, and Pacheco was in fine form. I never want to blame Mahomes because I still think he's the best player in the league, but maybe there's just some cracks in the foundation. Somebody should have written in. Shame on all of you for not writing in Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. Maybe you guys, you know, you landed on a great second quarterback. And that guy's maybe Sam Darnold was carrying you. So why would you even need Patrick Mahomes? It's funny. In one league, salary cap expert league, 14 teams, somebody had Josh Allen, threw up Mahomes for a high number, got stuck with Mahomes, and he's trying to trade Mahomes. So he offered me Mahomes for Derrick Henry last week. I said no immediately, but I countered Devin Singletary for Mahomes because I don't have a great quarterback room. He said no. And by the end of the weekend, I was just glad that I hadn't done that trade. I'd rather have Singletary. I'll just cobble together a quarterback room. So throw in a bonus panic question on you, Dalton. Where are you at right now with Patrick Mahomes?
Oh, definitely at least some, because this dates back to last year when it was all underneath stuff, man. These two high safeties like Burrow, it's just, we thought Worthy would maybe help solve this problem with the deep threat. But so far this year, it's been closer to the line of scrimmage than ever with Mahomes. So, yeah, because he doesn't run and this is the team that has a good defense and wants to win in the postseason, I don't see him going crazy on the league. And you know, I thought he'd win the MVP this year, but it looks like it's going to be more of the same. And, yeah, he's the same right back-to-back with my guy Anthony Richardson in fantasy ranks among quarterbacks so far this year. And everyone's super down on Richardson. And maybe there should be some sort of panic here with Mahomes as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of our friends in the industry have been all over this too. The fantasy footballers were tweeting that Mahomes has hit 20 fantasy points in 4-point touchdowns in only 17.6% of his last 17 games. It's basically an F in their consistency metric, and Rich Rebar is always saying something interesting. Mahomes has one top 10 scoring fantasy week over his past 12 regular season games. He's had two top six scoring weeks since the start of last season, man. I don't know what's happened to our Patrick Mahomes. I'd like to get him back, but yeah, some panic certainly feels like the right call. There's talent around him. He's got Andy Reid around him, and maybe they'll even have to go a little bit more pass heavy with Pacheco hurt. They're still getting wins, man. They're also still getting some calls. I was kind of sick of that. Kansas City gets all the calls, swelling of you know, tweets and arguments, and then they get a really favorable non-pass interference call when they mug Kyle Pitts in the end zone on Sunday night. And it's like, well, I don't know what to say about that. I don't know. It's what's that old expression? Don't say something is nefarious when it might just be incompetence. I think that's, you know, the game is hard to officiate, but just once I'd like to see the Chiefs not get a call in their favor. Am I off base when I say that?
No, I hear you. I mean, I'm a Niners guy myself here, but man, that 53% pass rate, they still ran the ball with Carson Steele Sunday night. But yeah, I hear you with these late game calls, just in prime time too. It just seemingly always do go Mahomes' way. It does seem that way.
So we've been teasing the tight end position, and when we come back, they're going to get their own segment. No tight ends are producing right now, at least not the guys we drafted. Dalton and I will try to figure that out next. Okay, Dalton, so it's time for the tight end RX, and somebody named Scott, great name, not me, sent out a tweet that probably deserves this entire segment. His panic is all the tight ends, exclamation point. Yahoo tweeted out a tweet of Travis Kelce just looking sad. I don't know, maybe him and Taylor, you know, they got in an argument over a game of Scrabble or something. I don't know, Parcheesi. What do they play, Connect 4, Connect 2, Tic-Tac-Toe? This is ugly, man. So who's the number one tight end on the season? It's Dallas Goedert, of all people, who went into week two with just over 10 fantasy points, and he goes ballistic in week three with A.J. Brown out, with Devonta Smith getting hurt. And Isaiah Likely, who has not been heard from since the opening game of the season, is still the tight end four. It's just hard times out in those tight end streets. So we're going to go through the vanity tight ends. If you prioritize tight end, we're going to go through your guys, give you some intel. We talked about the Chiefs earlier segments. Where's Mahomes at right now? Rashee Rice is getting fed. Travis Kelce is not. He was the number one or number two tight end drafted most leagues, depending on how you felt about Laporta. We'll get to him in a second. Dalton, give us all your intel on Travis Kelce.
We're at total panic mode here. First, let's talk about tight ends peeing out. Nick Vinette, Johnny Munt, Pride of Central Catholic, Modesto, Josh Wiley. Those were top eight fantasy tight ends this last week, and none of them scored eight fantasy points. I mean, it's about as bad as it's been. Seemingly during a year, we were most encouraged of the tight end position. So Kelce, again, quiet Sunday night, despite facing a pass funnel Atlanta defense indoors with KC missing Marquise Brown and Pacheco. Xavier Worthy is not stealing any targets. Mahomes attempted 39 passes Sunday night. So, I mean, maybe the cliff is here for the soon-to-be 35-year-old tight end. Kelce has eight catches for 69 scoreless yards. this season. So I'm there. I mean, total panic for me. He was drafted as the number one tight end in Yahoo leagues.
And they were open about before the season. They kind of wanted to soft pedal Kelce, maybe not use him as much. Snaps down, targets down. He ran actually a really important clear out route on the Rice touchdown Sunday night. So he's still getting important. You know, I mean, you only get your points for that. Ask anybody ever rostered MVS, you know, all those clear out routes he ran so somebody else could be open underneath. But I think at some point Kelce will miss time. He's an attrition player, age 35 season. Yeah, full panic. You can't drop him, of course, and you even can't trade him until consumer confidence rebounds. I think if you want to get out of the Kelce fantasy business, have to wait till he has a game that people notice, that people feel good about, and then maybe you can do something. Remember, too, bye weeks kick in week five, and that's really when trading season starts. Maybe in your league you can't get those deals completed, but throw in some bye weeks and a little bit of desperation in the standings, and you'll be surprised at how that's an elixir for more trade. You always see like a huge spike in trading in the second month of the season, so that's not far away. But I'm in full panic mood on Kelce. I'm happy to say I didn't draft any Kelce, but I have tight end problems like everybody else. We're not going to get to Evan Engram on this show, but man, all he's done is, you know, get hurt in pregame warmups of all things before week two, didn't play week three. So if Kelce didn't go first in your league, Sam Laporta did. And it looked like everything, all the dots connected, right? He's a young player. He went to Iowa University. He learned under Coach Andy Behrens, the tight end coach of Iowa. It's actually not true, but it sounds good, so I'll say it. Ben Johnson stayed. Jared Goff got paid. So the band's back together. And you know, Detroit's defense still got some messiness on the back end. We'll see some shootouts. We're not getting those shootouts, man. There was a low-scoring game against Tampa Bay in week two, low-scoring game against Arizona in week three. The running game is kind of taken over in Detroit. Goff's been just okay. Jameson Williams at times has spread his wings. He didn't do it in week three. And Laporta's getting a decreased share of market. So anybody who drafted Sam Laporta right now is pretty nervous. Again, it goes for the position because there's a lot of guys who fit that suit. But what do you tell the struggling Sam Laporta manager?
I'll let you ultimately decide, P&L, because I fluctuate between some panic, the player will be better, and total panic just based on his ADP, which was, you know, so high in some leagues. He's dealing with a run-heavy team, Jameson Williams breaking out, and now Laporta has an injured ankle, supposedly of the low variety, which is always better than high. But entering last week, I mean, Laporta had two teammates that ranked top five in first read targets. That's tough to do, to have two teammates, top five, first read targets. And this is on a run-first team that is maybe really better defensively because of some of those additions. I mean, week two when they lost to the Bucks, it wasn't because of the defense. It was the offense. And then last week, an impressive performance in Arizona. Laporta had a crazy catch ratio turned into touchdowns in the red zone last year that was certain to regress. He will be better, but he already has two games in the rearview mirror now dealing with a low ankle sprain and lack of production and more competition for targets. So there's either total or some panic here, no doubt.
Yeah, let's go with some panic only because at least – how many of your opponents are beating you at tight end, right? I mean,
yeah,
there's He'll just so many wrong answers to this position. And Laporte is still, I get how the touchdown rate was unsustainable, but still when you get in close in Detroit, they probably lost that Tampa Bay game because they couldn't score from in close. I mean, the easiest way to score a touchdown a lot of times is just to find the biggest guy in the field and just throw a pass that only he can catch. I still think Laporte will end the season with something like 7 to 8 touchdowns, but what concerns me is you mentioned the defense. I mean, Aiden Hutchinson, what a monster. I'd like to know what the defensive player of the year odds are on him. He was just incredible against Tampa Bay, and he eventually got home for some key plays in that Arizona game. It's just fun to watch. He never takes a playoff, and that makes the secondary look better because you just don't have as much time to throw. What I'd be worried about if I'm a Laporta manager, a Goff manager, a St. Brown manager, even a Jameson Williams manager, is that this team can win being physical. They have two really good running backs. Dan Campbell has a certain identity he imparts on this team. And even though they can throw it, and there will be times they have to throw it, like week two against Tampa Bay, there's going to be also games like they had on Sunday where would Goff throw like 24 passes or something like that. I mean, they played a button-down version of offense. They played bully ball. They salted the game away on the ground. They have two backs who can get 30-plus touches together on any given week. So this was a Carnival team last year. I think the Carnival's left town. I think they packed everything up. The Ferris wheel's gone, the ticket machine, the cotton candy, it's all gone. And now Detroit can beat you 24-16 when last year it had to be 34-30.
it's a small sample, but Goff has really struggled this year too. He's taken a step back. But yeah, this team wants to, I mean, Montgomery and Gibbs, so good. Laporta will absolutely be better. I mean, he's, as far as these players, I mean, he's his future's the best. But as far as, you know, compared to Kelsey, I mean, it's totally different ball games here as far as panicking. But still, you are disappointed given where you drafted him.
So we go from panic in Detroit to maybe the tight end. I mean, look, you have to play Kelsey, hope it gets better. You have to play Laporta, hope it gets better. I think that ship has sailed for Mark Andrews, who, you watch a Baltimore Ravens game, it's hard to find him on the field, find him downfield. Depending on whose stat you go by, he ran between 4 and 6 routes in that win over Dallas. I realize that Baltimore controlled that game on the ground. One target. It's a knuckleball offense. Lamar Jackson's great, but he scrambles to run a lot of times. He's not looking to make that downfield connection. Andrews is in his late 20s now. He's maybe likely just better. And maybe Zay Flowers is the number one guy in this offense. Maybe the number one guy in this offense is Lamar Jackson. I think it's entirely in play that later this season, maybe even October, people could be dropping Mark Andrews. Nobody wants to play him right now. He's just flat invisible. So I think I don't know where we're going with this, but you get to have a say too. Do you want to defend Mark Andrews?
I do not. I put him in total panic just because because of the tight end situation. I mean, I can't see dropping Andrews right now, but I'm cool if you want to put him there because he just played 20 snaps last week, the third most among Ravens tight ends. As you said, just 4 routes, targeted once. He's played 69% of the snaps during weeks 1 and 2, only saw 7 targets. He's just never been used like this. Maybe it's the tightrope ankle surgery. Maybe it was the car crash. I don't know, but it's not a great situation for Andrews, obviously. But again, tight ends is such a disaster. What do you do, P&L?
You have to at least bench him. And honestly, I live by a credo in fantasy that if you never make a cut, like I cut Mackenzie Gore in my fantasy baseball league, and then he pitched great for the last 5 or 6 weeks of the season. But I saw him. Producer Colin knows this is the big Nationals fan. I saw Mackenzie Gore struggling, and I thought, I'm making a mistake continuing to run this guy out when he looks like he's out of gas. They're not in contention. I wonder if at some point they shut him down. Well, no, he got stronger at the end of the year. I can live with that. I'm about 1 week away from just saying, yeah, I'll sign off on your Andrews cut. I think you need to give him one more game. But the fact of where he is in his career, there are other – think about it. If I just told you, Dalton, Baltimore scored a touchdown, you'd think, oh, yeah, Derrick Henry, right? Oh, did Jackson run one in? Did Zay Flowers get deep? Did likely make a play. You wouldn't even think it's Andrews anymore. He might be the 5th option on this offense. And he's at an age where players do lose effectiveness. Players do lose some of their physical skill. He's been through a lot of ailments. You mentioned the surgery, which is something we have to be worried about. So I know you drafted him as a set and forget tight end, but you have to live in the new reality. I think we're really close to a cut on Andrews, and he's going to be endorsed by me as a full panic. Now let's cleanse our palate a little bit. Trey McBride's on this list. I don't think it's been that bad for McBride. Arizona's kind of been the porridge team, right? The porridge was lukewarm at Buffalo. It was steaming hot against the Rams, and then it went cold against the Lions, okay? They played one good game, one bad game, one game in the middle. So, you know, McBride's been part of that. I realize that Marvin Harrison Jr. started to spread his wings, and at times it can be frustrating to watch Kyler Murray, who doesn't see that well in the pocket. Then he has to run. The game gets a little bit off script, but I still feel pretty good about McBride, especially given the context of this position, but he's on our script. He didn't do much in week 3. How are you viewing Trey McBride these days?
The only reason I'm adding some panic is because he entered the NFL's concussion protocol after he took just a brutal helmet-to-helmet hit in the 4th quarter. He did act mad when he was taken off the field, like he wanted to stay in the game, but pay attention to Wednesday's practice reports there. McBride was disappointing Sunday before leaving, but he entered with tight end 1 usage. I still love the setup here for him to be the number one fantasy tight end rest of season, assuming good health.
Yeah, I'm going to sign off on your some panic, but I think we could have even gone no panic here. I wish Trey McBride were on all my teams. I would encourage you to trade for him if you can. And at worst, he's going to be the second most targeted player on his team. He could lead his team in targets. How many tight ends do we even say that about anymore? But he still has that in his range of outcomes. So some panic, I'll even accept a no panic if you, dear reader and listener, want to go that route. Now, when we say tight end panic, who symbolizes that better than Kyle Pitts, right? He was the 4th pick in the draft. We were all excited. He's a unicorn, put up a bunch of yards in his first season, but only got the touchdown box a couple times. Maybe it was just once that 1 year, the European game. Anyway, he's been a disappointment, and we wanted to blame it all, at least I wanted to blame it all, on Arthur Smith. Well, Arthur Smith's in Pittsburgh now. Zach Robinson's taking over. And after watching three games of Zach Robinson, again, the first game horrible, the second game improved, the third game a little bit disappointing. They could have beaten the Chiefs. They couldn't knock him out. We see that so often with Kansas City games. I wish I could feel better about Zach Robinson. I still think he's feeling his way into this new position. I realize he's from the McVay tree. There was that one long catch that Pitts had Sunday night. He was tackled at the 1 yard line. If he scores, maybe we feel a little bit differently. But I'm just starting to get used to being disappointed by Kyle Pitts. When's the last time Kyle Pitts exceeded your expectations? Cousins is older. There's certain things he can't do anymore. Did they not want to call a quarterback sneak for him because of what his physical limitations are? Is Atlanta just going to frustrate us? Bijan Robinson surprisingly didn't make the list this week, but he's been driving me crazy. Tell us something about Kyle Pitts.
Yeah, Bijan Robinson, one career weekly top five fantasy crazy. Finish.
He's so good. I know he's great. I know it.
Kyle Pitts, man, you have my permission for total panic. He's averaging 2.7 catches per game this season. He was tackled at the 1 yard line Sunday night. He could have drawn a PI in the end zone. And tight ends are just so depleted. I don't know what to tell you. You want to chase Hunter Henry's big game, or do you want to just leave Pitts in your lineup? I don't know. Tight end is so rough right now. I have Pitts in a home league, and I'm not going to be happy about it, but I'm probably going to just continue to roll him out there while being totally panicked.
Yeah, I think total panic is the call here. And to be fair, what's making this position look even worse is, you know, Kittle's hurt right now, and Njoku's hurt right now, Engram's hurt right now. Yeah. Those guys were all drafted as top 10 tight ends. So this 30% of the guys we want to play, they're not available at this moment. So, you know, who are you picking up? I don't think in the waiver wire section we have any tight ends. Is there a hot tight end who can get us out of this this jail that we're in right now?
Yeah, not one. I don't think there's any tight ends that can get us out right now. But I mean, even Taysom Hill's dealing with an injury. My guy Parkinson had a great opportunity. He hasn't produced. No, it's just ugly. And then it's tough to chase last week's guy, you know, because then the next week he'll put up a goose egg. So
that's what I'm going to do with Noah Fant. I'm going to chase the six catches, yeah, and Fant, I know he's going to get me 2 for 11 in week 4.
Not bad. Fant's not a bad call there. Yeah, I know. Healthy in that offense, sure. And that was in a game that, when, you know, the passing offense didn't do much. So Fant's a good call, but I just think in general we're just here to looking at an ugly tight end position, and we're going to just have to hold our nose each week.
And producer Colin does mention that at least we got Jake Ferguson back. Not 100%, but he was active in that Dallas comeback. What a crazy game. Baltimore controls the first three quarters, and then Dak Prescott basically did his term paper the night before. And you know, what a great stat game for Dak after playing really poorly for 3 weeks, but we'll take it. It went from garbage time to real time, right? That was actually a football game at the end. And, you know, Brandon Aubrey gets a successful onside kick. Man, you know, you never hear kickers on the panic meter. I'm going to throw in one more just for fun. Just 2 seconds. Yeah. Justin Tucker, Dalton. Every field goal kicker is perfect this year, just about. And Justin Tucker's the only guy who misses. Could you cut Justin Tucker?
I think he's like 1 of 7 from 50 yards or longer since the beginning of last season. Yeah, the rest of the league's making every kick, setting records, 65 yarders, and he's missing 46 yarders indoors. He's no longer the GOAT, sadly.
Brandon Aubrey, he's going to make a 70-yarder, right?
I think he is, yes. He had room to spare in that 65. If he doesn't hit a 70-yarder, he will set the record with 67, I will say.
It's coming. Brandon Aubrey to the moon. Brandon Aubrey field goal kicks to the moon. We're going to take a break. When we come back, our new waiver wire segments, middle of the week, going to get those roster reinforcements. Dalton and I have pickups for every size of league. Stay with us. We are back. It's time to take a look at this week's waiver wire connections presented by Spectrum. Dalton and I are going to give you large, medium, and small priority players to pick up on the wire. Adjust it to your league. Every league is different. Different size, different scope, different starting requirements. So we're going to start with we're going to roll out the small stuff early. These are guys who deeper leagues you'll look at. Then we'll get to the medium things. And then we'll get to the, oh my God, you have to get this guy. And my small pickup is going to be Roschon Johnson, 2% rostered in Yahoo. Was better than DeAndre Swift in week 3. Getting into form. I know the offensive line isn't great, but maybe his powerful style, better vision than Swift, fits his offense. And also Tutu Atwell, I want to mention at 2%, there are a lot of wrong paths maybe in this Rams offense, but Atwell was the best of the receivers. DeMarcus Robinson did lose a long catch by an overturn, but Parkinson's been okay. I don't know when they're getting cut back. It sounds like Nacua is going to be out for an extended period of time. kudos to Sean McVay for stealing that win. So if you need to dig deep, I think Roschon Johnson at 2%, Tutu Atwell at 2% might be your speed.
I'll go with Isaac Guriendo, 49ers running back. He played well Sunday, limited role, but he's quietly stepped into that RB2 role in San Francisco with Elijah Mitchell out for the season. Guriendo is one of only two prospects over the last 20 years who have weighed more than 220 pounds and ran a 4.3 40. Christian McCaffrey is seeking alternative outside sources to treat his calf Achilles injury. His unknown timeline is a generous way of saying it right now. Jordan Mason has 71 touches through three games, the second most in the league. P, now I love Mason, but he's already set a career high in NFL rush attempts this season, and he never reached 175 carries during college. The 49ers were projected to score the most points in the NFL this season, so Guriendo has big fantasy upside, yet he's available in 97% of Yahoo leagues.
Any exposure to Kyle Shanahan offense sounds good to me. Let's give you a medium priority pickup. Darnell Mooney is basically on the field whenever the Falcons throw the ball high on route participation. We saw him score a splashy touchdown in week two. He was very active in that week three loss to Kansas City, better early than late. I wonder if maybe the script is working for the Falcons and they run out of steam sometimes once the game gets into the flow, but it's a narrow tree. They don't have Pitts going for whatever reason. I think Drake London's a good player, but he's not like a target hog. He's not like a 15-target, 13-target guy. They spread the ball around. I don't really understand why Darnell Mooney is only rostered in 26% of Yahoo leagues.
Sam Darnold's my medium priority. He leads the NFL with 8 touchdown passes. No one else has more than 6. Darnold's number 4 in fantasy points per game. Matt LaFleur has my early vote for coach of the year, but Kevin O'Connell is not far behind. Nick Mullins averaged 370 passing yards if you cherry pick 3 starts in this system last year. Darnold ranks top 5 in adjusted yards per attempt. Minnesota has the 3rd highest pass rate over expectation this season. An MRI showed Darnold avoided a serious knee injury, and he's available in more than 70% of Yahoo leagues. And if you need a QB and Darnold is rostered, or if you want to go for more upside, Justin Fields is another quarterback widely available who deserves strong consideration to add in fantasy leagues.
We're probably at a point where it's plausible Fields could start the entire season, right?
Oh, I think it might take an injury at this point. I mean, he's 7-2 his last 9 starts. They're 3-0, and they like him. He's making plays out there, and he'll do more with his legs. And I think it's going to take an injury for them to turn to Russell Wilson at this point.
Yeah, I expect his production to get better. I mean, they basically handed him the keys and said, look, don't turn the ball over. Don't throw the ball over the middle. Don't take sacks. The defense can win the game. Field goals are fine. And all they did was kick field goals in that first win over the Falcons, but he started to get a little bit more confident. He has a playmaker in George Pickens. I think eventually that rushing production, which has been a little bit disappointing, did have a rushing touchdown in week 3. I think he's just going to get more confident knowing that it's not game by game playing for his job. I think quietly they're going to say, look, relax. You got this. You're the guy we want. Wilson is just a backup now. And who knows? I wouldn't even be that surprised if they could find a way. I know it can be hard to complete trades, but if Fields ends up being good, why not trade Russell Wilson to a quarterback needy team or somebody willing to try something different? It's also possible Wilson is just washed. So now we're rolling out the big guns. These are players. Oh, my God, they're available. Go get them now. Stop listening to us. Go make a bid. Go make a pickup. Dalton, every time I watch the Tampa Bay Buccaneers play football, I see Bucky Irving getting more snaps, making splash plays. Rashad White, who last year did it all on volume. He wasn't efficient. He's the same guy this year, except he's getting less volume. I think Bucky Irving is going to be in a 50-50 really soon. I think he's eventually going to beat out White, where you have to play your best players. He's rostered just about a third of Yahoo leagues right now, and also throwing Braylon Allen. I know he's a backup with the Jets, and Breece Hall's fantastic, but they have an outstanding offensive line, and Allen's gotten enough work the last 2 games that maybe he'll have standalone value. Maybe he doesn't need an injury to Hall to take on fantasy relevance. And even if you're in a league where you're just thinking the insurance game, the backup game, if Hall gets hurt, we're all going to rank Braylon Allen as a top 5 back guy. Producer Colin, I don't know how your Cowboys looked at the tape on Braylon Allen and said, nah, Rico Dowdle, Zeke Elliott, that should do for us. There's 31 teams that screwed this up. The Jets got it right. But I'm really excited about Bucky Irving and very excited about Braylon Allen.
Bucky Irving and Braylon Allen absolutely would be my priority ads here, P. Now, good call. I mean, Bucky Irving's just going to take over the at least the rushing backfield in Tampa Bay. Still, White will be the guy receiving there. But I think Irving's the favorite for carries in Tampa Bay moving forward, and he's good. But we have to talk Juwan Jennings after what he just did, man. Posted a whopping 40% target share Sunday. Looked like Terrell Owens with some terrific contested catches. Jennings scored the most fantasy points by a wide receiver all season. Number 4 in the league in wide receiver fantasy usage last week. For the year, Jennings has the 3rd highest yards per route run, behind only Rashee Rice and Justin Jefferson. Jennings has the 3rd most receiving yards this season, more than Jefferson. Brock Purdy has also been terrific even while missing multiple stars. However, it must be noted from 2021 to 2023, on plays without Debo Samuel and George Kittle, Jennings earned a 17% target share. So be careful not to empty your entire free agent budget here. Still, Jennings needs to be added after such a historical performance, and he's available in nearly 70% of Yahoo leagues.
And remember, I mean, right now the Niners, their week 3 loss, they were missing CMC, Kittle, and Debo Samuel. They're not all coming back right away. We don't know when CMC is going to play again. It's week to week on Samuel. It sounds like it's probably week to week on Kittle. And this may be a case where just having one of them hurt opens up relevance to Jennings. And maybe it's just a genie out of the bottle. Maybe what Jennings did was so impactful that they can't – and remember also, as one of our – listeners pointed out earlier, they signed him to a contract extension. It wasn't the IU contract, but they prioritized Jennings. It wasn't like they just promoted him off the practice squad or something. They've always liked him as a player, went to Tennessee as a quarterback, quickly adjusted to wide receiver. So often you see the smartest players are the former quarterbacks. And I love that you mentioned Terrell Owens. I thought I was watching peak Terrell Owens highlights. He was physical, contested catches, yards after the catch, a variety of routes too. And often it was good coverage. He just beat good coverage with scheming, with athleticism. He obviously shows rapport with the quarterback, with Brock Purdy. So I could definitely see Jennings being a fantasy viable player for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, Niners fans call him third in Jennings. He's just money on the money downs. And Jennings might have won the Super Bowl MVP if a Purdy pass wasn't batted down at the line of scrimmage there. I mean, he's a good football player. And I welcome an expanded role for him, especially with, you know, Pearsall's dealing with the gunshot wound.
So there's a bunch of players to go attack your waiver wire. This has been the Waiver Wire Connections on the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast presented by Spectrum. Going to be a staple for you every week. Try to help you get those rosters, you know, freshened up with some fresh paint. You need just some more depth. The bye weeks are going to come soon, so these players are going to be important. You want to turn over your roster week after week, cut from the bottom of it. So hopefully we've given you some names, make your roster a little fresher. That is going to do it for the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast today. Matt Harmon back in the big chair on Wednesday. Sal Vitri, going to join him for the post week 3 data dump, stats, numbers, ratios, all this stuff. So let those guys figure it out. They always put a good thought in your head and get your roster where it needs to be. Until then, for Dalton Del Don, for producer Colin, I am Scott, and we are out.